सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
We'll chant verses 17 to 21, chapter 6.
Yukta-hara-viharasya, Yukta-cheshtasya-karmasu, Yukta-swapnava-bhodasya, Yogo-bhavati-dukkaha, Yukta-hara-viharasya, Yukta-cheshtasya-karmasu, Yukta-swapnava-bhodasya, Yogo-bhavati-dukkaha, Yada-viniyatam-chittam, आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निःस्पृहत्सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा यदा विनियतं चित्तम् आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निःस्पृहत्सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा यदा दीपो निवातस्थः नीङ्गते सोपमास्मृता योगिनो यतचित्तस्य युञ्जतो योगमात्मनः यदा दीपो निवातस्थः नीङ्गते सोपमास्मृता योगिनो यतचित्तस्य युञ्जतो योगमात्मनः यत्रो परमते चित्तम् निरुद्धं योगसेवया यत्र चैवात्मनात्मानं पश्यन्नात्मनि दुष्यति यत्रो परमते चित्तं निरुद्धं योगसेवया यत्र चैवात्मनात्मानं पश्यन्नात्मनि दुष्यति सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत्र बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेति यत्र न चैवायं स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः सुखमात्यन्तिकं यत्र बुद्धिग्राह्यमतीन्द्रियं वेति यत्र न चैवायं स्थितश्चलति तत्त्वतः।
You have a problem chanting that, not so repeatable. Siddhaschalati tattvata. Lot of tongue twisters will be there in the Sanskrit chanting. Verse number, I think we have seen 16 and 17, right?
We have done 16 and 17.
He gives a very interesting thought. He talks about regulation. Meditation is not for one who eats too much. Yoga is not for one who eats too much, nor for one who eats too little. Meditation is not for one who sleeps too much. Not in the class, otherwise. Meditation is not for one who sleeps too much or one who sleeps too little. one keeps awake all the time also cannot meditate. One who keeps sleeping all the time also cannot meditate, he says. And in the 17 he says, to him who is regulated in eating, recreation, regulation in action, who is regulated in sleeping and waking, yoga becomes the destroyer of sorrow. Very, very interesting thoughts that we presented which we saw last week. Why does he emphasize on regulation? Ati, I said, in yoga there should be no ati. If at all yoga permits ati, that ati should be in regulation. Regulation should be practiced ati. In the sense, it can be too much of regulation. One can go to the extent of saying that person is unbelievably regulated. Maybe that is too much. So I hope you understand the spirit in which I am trying to use that word ati here. So why is he saying regulation is very important? Remember, he's talking about preparation before going into meditation. We talked about the Ashtanga Yoga. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. These are all preparation. Then comes Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. That he will talk about from verse 18 onwards, which you will be seeing today. But till 17, he is talking about preparation, the external and internal preparation. Pratyahara is withdrawal of senses. So the thing is, you have regulation emphasized in verse number 16 and 17. Why is it? We didn't talk about it last week.
Lay the ground for you to do meditation. One of the preparation.
Hey, spirituality is what? Samsara is what? Samsara is thoughts running from you outward. That is samsara. Thoughts running inward is spiritual. We are making an attempt to stop the thoughts which are now running outward and then give it a turn towards inward. And then finally, it gets established totally inside only. That's the whole idea. This is all we are trying to do. Guru only helps in changing your direction. He doesn't say stop anything that you've been doing till now. Continue, but the direction ko change karo. From the world to the Atma within. So the most important thing is, there is no problem with reference to occupation, but Vedanta is against preoccupation. Lot of people get scared that maybe Vedanta will take me away from occupation, hence you will find very little people attending Vedanta classes. Because they believe that Vedanta means it will take you away from work. You will have to stop working, you will have to stop doing things. Vedanta never asks you to stop doing anything. It only talks about stopping the preoccupation. What does preoccupation mean?
Not focused on what you are doing, doing something, thinking something else. Your mind is
everywhere. Preoccupation means the worldly objects and beings start occupying your mind, your brain. Reasoning. When the hunger comes, the hunger is at the stomach area. It gives a signal to your brain that please give me something. Just give the signal to the brain. Hunger is not often, food is not in the brain. Food requirement is in your stomach. Then the signal goes to the brain. Then the brain gives signal to the other parts of the body, which in turn gives food to the stomach. Are you with me? That time you engage in that action, then you move to the next. Then food will not be preoccupying your brain. Are you with me? When you are hungry, you add the food. And when you add the food also, you thought about it, you did not eat more quantum or less quantum, Why is it so important? Because if you eat more or less quantum, then what will happen? Your mind will be preoccupied with the stomach, with food, overloading. When are you healthy? When your consciousness is not obstructed by any part of the body. If the kidney is making its presence known, it only means your consciousness is obstructed by kidney. Not stuck there. If heart is making its presence known, now what is happening? You start becoming more and more aware. Your consciousness is stuck at the heart level. Your consciousness must be flowing freely. When your consciousness flows freely, you are healthy, spiritually healthy also. Otherwise, it got stuck somewhere. So he doesn't want your consciousness to get stuck anywhere. Are you seeing? This is why he says regulation is necessary. You cannot make yourself go inward unless bringing about external regulation in your day-to-day activities. If you don't do action or you do too much of action, then where will your mind be? In the action only. Because you do too much of action and you get too little, your mind will say, what is this? You did so much but you got too little. What is the point? You next time must get more. Next time must get more. You understand? All the time, mind starts getting involved in the activity. So therefore, Vedanta says, don't stop action. The moment you tell somebody, don't, that means what have you done? You made their consciousness get stuck there. Isn't it? You know the story which usually spoken in spiritual field. One fellow fell in love with a girl and he tried his best to woo her and she said, get lost. So somebody told, there's a Swami who has come to the town. Go to that Swami, he'll give you a mantra that will help you. So he went. And the Swami, when his turn came, he heard him. He said, what's your problem? Acha, you would like to marry that girl? Okay, this is the mantra for you. And the fellow was about to leave. He said, no, I need to tell you something more important. What is it? Early morning, 4 o'clock you have to wake up. Every day. For minimum 21 days. Continuously. 4 o'clock you have to get up. And when you get up, make sure you get up from the left side. Right? And make sure that you first see only yourself in the mirror. Etc. etc. He never got up before 8 o'clock in the morning. But he wanted this girl desperately. So he said, no problem. 4 o'clock, no issue. And he said, you take bath, say your prayers, then sit down, close your eyes, facing the east, start chanting this mantra. And this you have to do 21 continuous days. He said, no problem, Swamiji, I'll certainly do that. And what happens after 21 days? You will see that she will propose to you. You will get married and settled down. So you are so, and he said, in case in between you miss, then first you have to start off again. That is the condition. Then the mantra will not work. He said, that's all, no problem, I'll do it. And then he is about to leave, he said, I forgot very, very important thing. What is that? When after doing all this, when you sit down to chant the mantra I gave you, make sure in your mind the thought of monkey doesn't come. He said, never in my life, never in my life I thought of monkey. Now where is this monkey thought going to come? Till now this Swami is made some sense, now suddenly he is making nonsense. He left. You understand? And next day morning he sat down, everything fine. He sat down to do the mantra chanting. When he said, I should not think of monkey. What is happening? He already thought of mantra. So one day gone. So from next day he has to start. He could never start chanting the mantra. He could never get that girl. In other words, the moment you say don't, your mind gets fixed. Hear me. Anything forced is never forceful. You show on Bollywood movies also. The girl falls in love with the boy. I'm sorry, the boy falls in love with the girl. The girl is not at all interested. But when the father comes to know that the boy is troubling her, asking her to get married, he sends gundas. Till then, the girl never thought about the boy. He sends gundas, beats the fellow, he gets admitted in the ICU. The girl comes to know. Now she starts thinking about him more. Because of the father, this nonsense happened. He doesn't realize anything forced is never forceful. Hear me. So not forceful restriction, not what? Licentious indulgence. Regulation on when you do regulation, your preoccupations will not be there. Only when the preoccupations are not there, mind can be turned inward, taken within. Therefore, he says, regulation is a most important preparation. Right? That is why we keep on saying, without doing this, if you sit down in meditation, it appears as if you are doing meditation, but your mind is going everywhere. It is of no use. Right? You do too much exercise, problem. You do too little exercise, then also problem. So everything needs to be in a proper dosage. Like when the doctor prescribes you, he will also prescribe dosage. He says, I have no time to take everything in one go. He'll say, let's meet in heaven then. Right? So in other words, you got to practice it in dosage. No ati. So hence he said, to him who is regulated in eating, in recreation, again see, even simple thing like the preparing for exam. The moment you say no, then the mind goes there. That is why one of the most important things that they talk about in all these preparations, in all these people who give advice, consultancy is, plan your distractions. We never plan our distractions. What are the nowadays, the latest trend distractions? Twitter, Facebooking. You know, these are distractions. In one of the schools, when they invited me to give a talk on stress, pressure, you know, children, they have pressure, exam pressure. It was a talk. So I asked them, what do you do? What are the things that you do to relax? They said, one person said music, one person said Twitter, Facebooking. Facebooking was maximum, just few, 1 or 2 years ago. Everybody is in Facebook, maximum. Their relaxation is when they are in Facebook. So these are your distractions. Now the moment you say, exams are a no distraction, I will not give you my distraction, what happens?
You are already distracted.
You will only be settled there. So therefore, they say, plan for your distraction so that your mind knows I have given some time for it. In that time, you go through your distraction. And you always allow the time for your distraction, which is not so productive time as far as you are concerned. Say for example, immediately after you have your lunch. It is not such a great time for you to sit and study. Right? But after having had your good sleep in the morning and you have gone for your walk, freshened up, you are now really fresh enough to absorb. At that time, don't give your time for distraction. That time you understand that it is a quality time. At that time you do focus on your studies or your work, whatever that might be. Then the time which according to you is most unproductive, that time you slotted it for your distraction. Since the mind knows and it has not been said no, it doesn't bother you. It allows you to focus and do what you are supposed to do. So this is very, very important, what they call as regulation. Hence he brings in recreation also. The moment you say, the most important thing in life for me is to go with it, all recreations stop. Then what will happen? You will never proceed. Therefore, in order to be moving ahead, you got to regulate even your recreation. Right? Yukta Aravihārasya is talking about both eating and recreation. Contact with the world is also needed. But the problem is, as soon as you get up, having freshened up, when you are really freshened up to absorb positive things, great things to do that time, usually people have the habit of sitting and reading newspaper. That could be done in the time when you are not that productive enough. But why do you have to read the newspaper first thing in the morning? What do you mean? That's all it is. It's not saying don't read the newspaper. The moment you say don't read the newspaper, you won't even come. If I say no mobile phones allowed in the class, you won't even come for the class. Right? So I say okay, allowed. You are given time to check the mobile phone before or after the class. Something like that. So, recreation also needs to be regulated. And action also needs to be regulated. If you don't regulate your actions, what will happen? You will be preoccupied with your home when you are in the office. You will be preoccupied with your office when you are at home. This is what is happening, isn't it? We carry home with us when we go to office. We carry office with us when we go to home. This is the problem. So the problem is not being dynamic. The problem is what? Not keep moving, but keep moving with things in our mind. Somebody asked Swamiji, how come you are traveling throughout the year, your calendar is fixed for the whole year, and yet you seem to be so relaxed? We are, you know, a lot of people complain, how they see you. There's so much travel, oh yeah, go, travel, travel, travel. Okay, don't work, no, okay, you understand? So, travel, and you say it's causing me stress. See, the problem that has happened today is, it is so normal, a lot of people say, ah, yeah, if there is so much of travel, there will be stress. It has been accepted as a normal thing. So if you see somebody who is traveling and yet not disturbed, you think he is either from heaven or he is from man. You think he is not normal. So when somebody asked this question, then the reply given by Swamiji was, when I travel, I don't carry the baggage. I have moved from India to USA for my lectures. I am very much in India, USA. India, whatever has to be done, has been done. Because when I did the work, I was totally there. I never kept anything pending. And while I am out, what is to be done has been delegated. Right? Unless it is some emergency, they are not going to call me. If it is emergency, they will call me. So why should I keep that in my mind, the ashram in my mind? Ashram is running. Now I am in USA giving lectures. Now when I leave USA, go back to ashram, I am in the ashram. This is what he is saying. If you are practicing ati in your work, then only stress can come. Work cannot give you stress. Ati will give you stress. Please understand. Ati will only bring you stress. Why ati? Because you think you have to do everything. You don't understand that everything is being done through you. You say, my son, my daughter. What do you mean by my? See, food at least. is something that is required by the body for its survival. Isn't it? Food is required by the body for its survival. The act of procreation is not needed for the body for its survival. But the act of procreation is needed by the nature for it to propitiate itself. Isn't it? To reinvent itself. Because it has manifested as Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, and that person will be no more after a while. So nature wants to propitiate itself, and nature is using you. Do you think you have brought these people into this world foolishly? Think about it. Nature uses your body, which is also part of the nature. You are not apart from the nature. And then through you, it propitiates itself. And that has come in the form of your son, that has come in the form of your daughter, etc., etc. Similarly, nature is doing its work through you, and you think, I am doing it, I have to do this. This has to be done by me. So in this 11th chapter, Lord Krishna says, they are already killed men. Duryodhana and all these people are already killed. You just be the instrument in the hands of totality and execute it and take the name with you. Take the credit for it. That is me. If you really understand this, will you have this? Swami Ramananda calls it as feverish doing. No? I got to do this. Why should your work become a Frankenstein and threaten you? No, that movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Terminator.
Yes.
He creates a Frankenstein to destroy the enemies. Then the Frankenstein starts coming on him. You understand? So you created work. Right? You started your business. Now what has happened? I would love to come. I enjoy your classes so much. But work. I never asked you whether you liked my class, you didn't like. You understand? Fine, you didn't like my class, very good. One class less for me. Into my other work. I so love. The show is so long. It continues for 3 days. You understand? Now you say that your work is stopping you from what you love to do. How can that happen? Did you start the work or did work start you? Are you for the work or work for you? Do you mean? And this is so problematic. Aajkal business is so mushkil. Business is same, you understand? Situations change, of course we understand. But then the ati. And why that ati is coming? Ati is not coming from outside. That is what I am trying to explain. The ati is coming because of your involvement. भक्ति नहीं है ये सारा जो हो रहा है इज हैपनिंग बिकॉज ऑफ भगवान बट यू थिंक आई एम डूइंग इट मैं कर रहा हूं कृष्णा वाज टोल्ड इन द फर्स्ट चैप्टर बाय अर्जुन सेनयोर भयोर मध्य रतम तापय मे अच्युत ओ कृष्णा ओ अच्युत टेक माई चैरियट एंड प्लेस इट इन बिटवीन बोथ द आर्मीज कृष्णा जस्ट गिव अ स्माइल माई चैरियट यू आर सेइंग माय बॉय My chariot? ये कब से हुआ? From when did it become yours? कोई भी आपका नहीं, सारा मेरा है. Nature says, is this your body? It's mine, I am taking it, man. What are you saying, it's yours? It's mine. You understand? My body. Okay, अभी थोड़ा दिन में पता चलेगा. Whether it's yours or mine. So it starts giving you warning, starting from your hair. You say, my hair starts falling. It's telling you, nothing is yours. You don't understand. You understand? Slowly, truth falls after some time. You understand? Slowly, things falling. What is it reminding you? It is reminding you that everything is nature's, Bhagavan's. You are part of it. But you say, my. Therefore, my work, I have so much effort. Then finally what happens? So very little you get. Very was so disappointed. He wanted to work more. How? Zohar said, you understand? Kuch nahi hai. Then what happened? Your mind is so much preoccupied with the work. You are busy. So he says, in all your receipts, reactions and responses, in your recreation as well, in your work as well, in everything, the things that are necessary for you to survive, you got to eat. Recreation is not something that is necessary, yet it is important. You can live without recreation, but can you live without eating? Are you with me? So things that are necessary, things that are important, at all levels, you got to practice regulation. Who is regulated in sleeping and waking? Yoga becomes the destroyer of sorrow. This is another very interesting construction. Yogo bhavati dukkaha. What is this yogo bhavati dukkaha? Destroyer of sorrow.
Sorrow comes from outside. Yoga is telling you to go and within yourself.
Yoga is saying, whenever you are feeling sorrow, that is the way nature wants you to remind you that there is something wrong in you. Things are going wrong. Isn't it? If nothing goes wrong, you become very egoistic. Nature is warning you, making its presence known. You understand? By cautioning you. You are going somewhere wrong. Abhiti karo. If you don't, it will become worse. So dukkha is not dukkha if you look at it from this angle. Dukkha is what? Your benefactor. Isn't it? And dukkha is coming. It's your benefactor. It's telling you something is wrong. Tinkaro. So you should take it as a caution. So I said, if somebody is criticizing you, instead of being agitated about it, instead of developing negative thoughts about that person, what you should do? You should be grateful to that fellow. When you have a neighbor who is constantly thinking of attacking you, what will happen to you? You will be alert. If your neighbor is so good to you, you would have gone to sleep. Look at the countries. When you have boundaries where people are trying to come and attack you, people will be alert. Isn't it? Now, I am not taking any sides. I don't belong to any sides. Israel and the other countries around. There is constant tension. I am not taking the sides of Israel or Middle East. I don't know. I don't know about anything about it. I don't want to get into it. But then, we do understand. We are told that Israel has one of the most powerful radars. Developed most powerful radar system. Because you understand, you could be attacked from any side. It keeps you alert. So that is what he is saying here. Becomes the destroyer of sorrow, yoga, because it makes you look at things positively. Yoga itself is looking at things positively. You don't look at the thorns, you look at the rose. That's why I told you last week, even in a person who is a contract killer, you find some honesty there. Because he's taken money, he will certainly get rid of the fellow. Otherwise, he'll return the money back. So even in such a person, yoga teaches you to see the goodness. And when you start seeing the goodness, the person will only, you know, help you to see the goodness within. Things evolve. That is yoga. Now yoga is called the destroyer of sorrow. So in other words, what is yoga? Tracing backwards when you find sorrow, yoga asks you to question, how did you fall into this sorrow? Now, if you fall into this sorrow by coming this route, you can get back to that original state of happiness by going in the reverse direction. Do you mean? So the question is what? How did I fall into sorrow? I fell into sorrow by doing things mechanically, bina sochke, without thinking. So now what do you have to do? Start doing things after thinking, with awareness while doing.
With your buddhi. When you do that, what will happen?
Shoka will get traced back to sukham.
Are you with me? That is what is called as yoga.
Yoga is what? A retreat.
Yoga is a
retreat. Going in the reverse direction. Then automatically you will get rid.
So it's not so yoga going to bring you sukham. He doesn't say yoga will bring you sukham. Sukham is already within you.
By not being yogic in your lifestyle, you brought what? Shoka. So now what you have to do? By becoming yogic in your lifestyle, you will destroy the obstacles you created. When the obstacles are destroyed, what remains is sukham. Yoga can never bring you sukham.
Later on he is going to talk about
atyantika sukham. Sukham is atyantika.
Atyantika means within you. Yoga cannot bring you sukham.
So, lot of people say yoga is not needed. Yoga is definitely not needed for sukham, but yoga is needed for removing sorrow. If you never created sorrow for yourself, then yoga is not needed for you. Agreed. But if you created sorrow for yourself by your foolish way of living, then definitely yogic way is needed for you. By yogic way, now what you can do? You can remove all the obstacles, the sorrow.
Then what will happen? You will start experiencing the
atyantika sukham.
Isn't it? By eating too much, what happened? You brought about stomach problem. Now what do you do? Doctor tells you, stop eating. Right? Or whatever he tells you, you do that. Then what happens? Body starts becoming normal.
When body starts becoming normal, there is a sukham that you experience.
A bliss. Isn't it? That's unbelievable. That is what he says. Yoga is a destroyer of next verse.
यदा विनियतं चित्तं यदा विनियतं चित्तं आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यः निस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा यदा विनियतं चित्तं आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यः युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा यदा तदा when this happens then that happens
when perfectly controlled mind when a perfectly controlled mind rests in the self alone freed from the desire for all objects free from the desire for all objects nispriha sarva kamebhyah then it is said to be established in yoga when is it
that you have got yourself established in yoga when your chitta thoughts do not run after the world how are you tied to the world by your thoughts only?
You could have given up many things, but you are tied with all those things that you have given up mentally because you are celebrating single jubilee for giving up cigarette. 20 paisa ho gaya. Means what? You have really not
given up cigarette. Cigarette is from the mouth gone to your brain. Isn't it? From the mouth, it started occupying your mind.
Therefore, it says, nispriha sarva kamebhyah. What is
attaching you to the world, your thoughts. So he says, when a perfectly controlled mind rests in the self, when the mind has been taken inward and the thoughts are not running from you outward, then it is established. Now we need to understand that yoga has three essentials to it. Three aspects, three essentials you can say. First essential is, it brings you, develops enormous strength within. You have infinite strength and infinite energy within. Now you are using only very little of it. Isn't it? Each one of us has enormous energy, infinite energy. But what we are using is very little. Why? Because I am thinking, I am finite. There is a story about hypnotizing a tiger. After the tiger has been brought about, it's raised with the cows or some other domestic animals. So the tiger has become domesticated. But the tiger has within it to just open its mouth. You understand? Everybody else is unable. But the tiger doesn't know its potential. It's like that. Yoga brings out that potential from within. And it has, for example, you keep pillows to your head and sleep. Why? You don't keep pillows to your head and sleep, what happens?
You get stiffening.
What happens when you do sit up? Sit up means headstand. What happens? The blood starts flowing to the brain, brain starts getting more activated. Brain starts getting more activated when you go to sleep. Similarly, when you're sleeping, blood starts flowing there if you don't keep pillows. So if you have a raised head, then the blood can flow down, then you can sleep. You understand? So what we need to understand is, there are different areas in our body. When we start focusing, we enhance the strength in that particular part, the total body itself. For example, if you can use pranayama in such a way, and you know, prana, apana, samana, dhyana, udana, all the pranas, when you bring into your control, and you break your pranas into certain areas, that starts becoming so strong. Like for example, when you pump in air inside the tire, 4 tires or 8 tires or whatever number of tires that are there in the vehicle, so heavy vehicle is just held on the tires. When the tires are deflated, what happens? It cannot hold it anymore. Therefore, when the tires are given air, the entire air takes the weight. You are not taking it. That's why some people, through pranayama and all that, they allow the cars to go on them. Nothing happens. You wonder what's happening? If you try, you're finished. But that is not spirituality. Please understand. It's got nothing to do with you realizing the self or anything. You can, if you start practicing such yoga techniques, you can also develop that strength. Right? But if you develop that strength to use it in spiritual journey, then you are moving in the right direction. But many people, they go to yoga, they develop these strengths, and they get stuck there. They start demonstrating such power and start making money out of it. That is their level. They get stopped there. They don't raise beyond. Do you mean? So in your body, you can do yoga and kindle infinite energy, which is required for you to turn inward using your body and prana. And another second essential aspect about yoga is the science of sound. Yoga said, sound and mind has tremendous relationship. Sound and mind has tremendous relationship. If you are traveling in a bus, next to the window, supposing the window is loose, so the shattering noise will come, some low frequency noise. And do you know, when the low frequency noise goes on and on, you will feel like vomiting. You get giddiness. You understand? Sound has an effect on your mind. Certain types of sound soothes you. Music. I believe somebody told me the dental clinic now, they started playing certain mantras. You understand? Well, the fellow brings that thing and that sound. Huh? That very sound itself is bringing, is so scary. Right? So the thing is, sound has an effect on your mind. So the different sounds bring about different patterns of thoughts. What is sound? Nothing but glossified thought. What is thought? Nothing but subtle sound. Right? Sound is nothing but words when you speak. It is nothing but glossified thoughts. So thoughts are nothing but subtle sounds. So the external and internal has a relationship. So they make use of it. Are you with me? So by making use of it, they tell you certain sounds bring about certain pattern of thoughts within. Certain sounds bring certain patterns, different kind of a pattern. Therefore, use those sounds that bring about those set of thoughts in which Atma can be reflected. In certain sounds, certain thoughts are produced, then you will start running outward. Read me. The science. And in fact, the best sound they talk about is the sound called Pranava Mantra. Yes, I am Om in the entire Vedas. It is. I am Pranava among Vedas. Elsewhere, we'll talk about it. What does it mean? Pranava of all Vedas. This sound. In fact, I think I pointed out this to you. In the 12th Yajna portion, which we did in the 4th chapter, verse 25 to 30, 25, 26, 27, I think 28 verse, yes, 28 verse, he talks about Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, Swadhyaya Yajna, Jnana Yajna. So I pointed out, what is Swadhyaya? Swadhyaya means what? Jnana. Swadhyaya means chanting. You know, going on chanting the Vedas. Adhyaya, Veda Padanam. You go on repeating the Vedas. Even today you go to the Veda Patashala, they will be making you chant the entire Vedas. In fact, they say traditionally you don't even have to get into the studying and all that. They say you just go about doing this chanting, that is enough. You wonder, what is he talking about? This is the science that they are talking about. Because the way you do that chanting, it automatically brings about breath control. You understand? It automatically brings about that kind of thoughts that is needed, the pattern inside. And then the Atma starts revealing itself. So they say you don't even worry about getting into the meaning of the Vedas.
It's the energy.
Yeah. So the sound, vibration. You understand? You sit in a yajna when they are doing chanting, and the way it should be done, you will suddenly feel that you've forgotten about all the problems, everything. How that is happening? We talk about that chanting. So he says, of all that, I am Om, because Om has no particular pattern. And the energy is not going outward, it gets circulated within. And when the energy becomes a boundary, the inside plane, the awareness starts glowing beautifully, nicely. In each one of us, there is a spark. That spark, when it is fanned, it starts becoming a conflagration. All that you need to do is, that's all Guru knows, that within you Atma is. Awareness is. He in any different methods only tries to kindle that. When the awareness catches up, he says, now I don't have to be there with you. You know what to do. That awareness, when it is become too much, glowing fully, that is the ultimate state. Then only awareness remains. You understand? The awareness or and the object of awareness dissolves, then only awareness remains, where you are totally established in samadhi. Are you with me? So by yoga asanas, pranayama and the mantras. And then the third essential aspect, what is that? With this energy and the sound pattern, you now bring your mind under your control, and now that mind you give attention in the direction that it should be given. And whichever part of the body you pay attention, that part starts getting activated. So when your eyes see the object and your attention is given to the eyes, and then what happens? Your awareness is drawn towards the object and then you are lost. Are you seeing? So now that yoga makes the mind pay attention to the awareness within. Instead of what I see, it starts thinking, paying attention to the seer. Are you with me? So from the seen, the attention starts flowing towards the seen. Sorry, seer. From the seen to the seer. Then slowly, slowly what happens? That also dissolves. Then what remains is only the seer. That's the idea. Are you with me? So this is the technique that they follow in dharana. In dharana, if you focus your mind, dharana means concentration. There's an object in front of you. You focus your mind on the object. When you bring your thoughts on a particular object, suddenly you find that object dissolves. You understand? If you can focus for a period of time, there's a quantum also they specify, I think about 12 minutes or so. If you can bring it to that sort of a level, where single-pointedly, like Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa explained, like when you pour oil from one container to the other, the strand goes in one strand. Single strand, isn't it? Like that, no way your mind is getting distracted. Single strand mind is going from you to the object. When that you can establish immaterial of what object it is, then what happens is you are taken backwards. I mean inwards, not backwards, inwards. Then the awareness starts getting kindled, and once slowly, slowly you start getting established in it, thereafter only awareness remains, because it starts destroying the vasanas completely. Understand? So for you to come to the dharana, first all the preparations. Dharmically you must live. Then yoga, pranayama, all that. Understand? You studied all that. Now he's starting actually talking about dharana. Now such a person can come to dharana. Otherwise you can't come to dharana. So it is, when a perfectly controlled mind rests in the self, alone, free from desire for all objects, then it is said to be established in yoga. Now you got to take this establish the mind further, further, further. Then what happens? The mind dissolves. When you make the mind draw itself away from the world and draw itself towards the Atma, the interesting thing about Atma is what? Anything gets closer and closer to Atma, Atma makes it dissolve in itself. ocean. The moment a salt doll touches the ocean, what happens? What happens? What happens? What happens? You're not wrong, but you're putting it in a negative term. Same thing if you put positively, what happens? It has become ocean. You're saying the right thing only, you're saying dissolved. It has become the ocean. It has become the awareness. That's my point. That is what Lord Krishna is trying to say here. Are you with me? The mind needs to be detached from the world and attached to the Atma within. So we say in the beginning, you detach from the lower and get attached to the higher. Thus go on increasing. Once you get established in the higher, then pitch up a higher goal. Pitch up a higher goal. The highest goal you can pitch up is the Atma. When your mind is started turning towards Atma, so Krishna says, the moment you turn and look at me, I am so bewitching that you can't take your eyes off me. You come to Vedanta, maybe to drop somebody for Vedanta class and pick up the person. Swami Chinmayananda gives this example. He says, first you go to drop somebody for the class, say, I'll come back and pick you up after 100 hours, maybe your mother or somebody. Then, one day probably you came little early to pick her up. He said, anyway, my mother has been going, let me see what she is listening to. So when you go inside, all the seats are taken because it's almost going to finish the lecture. The last few minutes you hear, you understand, something happened. So what do you do? Next day, you go earlier and sit, occupy a seat, and slowly, slowly, a time comes where now you want to occupy the first seat, front seat. Are you with me? Then what will happen? Slowly, slowly, you want to merge with the Atma. Chinmayananda says, if you have heard Vedanta, if you have gone into yoga once, that means you must have done lots and lots of punya, sadhana in many janmas, otherwise you could not come. And once you have come, now it's like radium that is passed in a cancer patient. What will that radium do? It is silently working, destroy the cancer. Like that, this will not allow you to be there. Slowly, slowly, finish off all the vasanas. Then what remains is only awareness. Then you are to be established in yoga.
यता दीपो निवासस्तः नेगते सोपमा स्मृता नेगते सोपमा स्मृता योगिनो यतचित्तस्य योगिनो यतचित्तस्य युञ्जतो योगमात्मनः युञ्जतो योगमात्मनः यता दीपो निवासस्तः नेगते सोपमा स्मृता योगिनो Beautiful example, he gives upama comparison to make us understand this even better. He says, as a lamp, yata deepa, just as a lamp in a windless place, nivata, nivatasya, windless place. As a lamp in a windless place does not flicker. That simile reflects a yogi with subdued mind practicing union with the self. What is making the flame flicker? The wind. What is the wind? The desires, the passion. Your wrong way of living, allowing your senses which have been conditioned in a particular way. You understand? These are the
distractions. These are the wind that is taking you away. So now you are going to go to a windless place. What will take you to a windless place? All that we studied till now. Yoga, pranayama, anything. Pratyahara, yama, niyama, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, mantra yoga. You understand? All that when you do, in other words, it is not that you go and do yoga in the morning, your life has to become yogic. If life doesn't become yogic, you will get a kick. Says Vedanta. If you are getting a kick already, that means you are not having your life yogic. It's up to you. You want to continue getting kicks? Continue. Vedanta is not saying you have to somehow come to yogic. But nobody wants to go on getting kicks. So the only way is what? You got to come back to yogic. Regulated. Neither too little nor too much. What do you mean? Then the passions will not be running helter-skelter. See, yoga, if you started as a sadhak, one of the most important thing for us is to not get involved in any argument. Just before coming to class, if you get involved in the argument, can you sit and concentrate here? If I get into argument, it's worse. Isn't it? You got to make sure that as a yogi, I can't afford to allow my mind to get distracted. So as a lamp that does not flicker. An interesting thing about it is, if there is too much wind, there also the lamp cannot, the light cannot continue in the lamp if there is too much wind. If there is too much wind, whichever side direction the wind is going, the flame will go that side and gets extinguished. Supposing you put the lamp in a totally enclosed container, what will happen? For the lamp to glow, thoda oxygen chahiye. You get extinguished. Pura band kiya, phir bhi extinguish ho jayega. Pura khul ke rakha, phir bhi band ho jayega. Please understand this. So when he says in a windless place, he's talking about the thoughts of the world is not there, but the thought of Atma is there. That enough oxygen supply thoda hai. Boost is the secret of my energy. Like that. Like they say in their advertisement, you know. That child. Otherwise it gets extinguished. Please understand this. Totally not there, it's extinguished. Fully covered, extinguished. Isn't it? That is called yoga. So it is one of the most beautiful examples he talks about. As a lamp that does not flicker in a windless place. Kept in a windless place. Wind is talking about the passion only. He's not talking about the thought of Atma. So if you keep scriptures, studying daily, yoga, pranayama, what we call as satsanga. This is beautifully brought about by Adi Shankara in one verse. Satsangatve nisangatvam nisangatve nirmohatvam nirmohatve nischalatatvam nischalatatve jivanmukti. First is a satsanga. The satsanga, that much is allowed. Again in the yajna we spoke. I know very well you forget everything. In the 12 yajnas. First I said deva yajna, brahma yajna, deva yajna, dama yajna, vishaya bhoga yajna, atma samyama yajna, shama yajna, then dravya yajna, tapo yajna, yoga yajna, swadhyaya yajna, jnana yajna, pranayama yajna, then ahara niyama yajna. 12 yajnas we studied. In that dhamma yajna vishaya bhoga yajna, what is it? Dhamma means what? Sense control. In the areas where your senses need not be allowed, because that will make your passions run. There you practice control in the areas where your senses should be contacted, because that will make the vritti of atma more. Are you with me? If you are sitting in gossip session, what vritti increases? If you are sitting in a Vedanta class, what vritti increases? You understand now? So this is called Dhamma Yajna and Vishaya Bhoga Yajna. So what do you have to do? You got to restrain your senses from moving to the areas where the passion is kindled and more. Called culture. Culture means, you know, in lab they call it culture test. What do you mean by culture? Culture test means what? What are they saying? They keep it for a while to see what is growing. Understand? If it is growing, then they want to know whether it is good or bad, what is going on. It's not growing, this is not it growing. Are you with me? So, culture, what are you growing? Are you growing the weeds? Are you growing the rice? What are you growing? Read me. So therefore, in terms of clothing and everything, they talk about as culture, what it grows. If you bring about a certain culture, it makes people run amok. The passions run amok. People start becoming licentious. Isn't it? Therefore, you got to maintain certain practices externally also. Otherwise, what is wrong in it per se? But say you tell me what is wrong in it. Are you with me? Nothing wrong. A child sees something, there is no problem. But when you see something, certain thoughts do come and draw you away. Isn't it? The pictures you have in your rooms. Talked about clean place. Suchau deshe pratishta apya. Why? This is the reason. Because passion can go. Isn't it? Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view, not to touch. The sight of our foolish heart inflamed, we long for pineapples in frames. Longing shuru ho gaya, passion shuru ho gaya, senses have started running amok. And in all the cases, there comes a time where it has reached a point of no return. When it has reached a point of no return, you can't stop yourself. You try to. Because अभी momentum शुरू हो गया, so momentum को control करके अभी from you to the outside world the momentum is going, and you have to control the momentum and give a momentum in the other direction. That momentum is what we are talking about here. Are you with me? For that satsang is very important, that momentum. So he says, as a lamp that does not flicker in a windless place, means that much of a shade, that much of oxygen that is required to give, giving yourself into satsanga, it is very important. Again, I have given you this example. When the lady gets pregnant, in the initial few months, she requires to be careful, protection. Otherwise, the pregnancy can get aborted. What do you mean? So when we are trying to get impregnated with awareness, in the beginning it's required. Windless place, only that much of oxygen, the satsang area, you understand, all that we've discussed till now, you've got to keep. Then the flame will glow, then the dharana will happen, single-pointedly. In fact, in the beginning, it will be with effort. थोड़ा ईगो भी होगा, एफर्ट भी होगा. दैट इज व्हाट दे कॉल एज व्हाट? सादिकल्प समाधि. That is what they call as Parikalpa Samadhi. Because all that is there, help is there, everything is needed. Then when the momentum has been given over a period of time, what happens? Now initially, earlier you were singing movie songs in the bathroom. Now in the bathroom, you are chanting, Yogaratto Va, Yogaratto. You are not doing anything. You understand? Subconsciously, it is happening. Please understand. This is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. You are traveling in the car, its thoughts are going. You are all the time, it starts beginning 24/7. These kind of things started getting established in you. Isn't it? Because see, mind, please understand, it is simply something that is going to the place where you have taken it regularly. Like you take the dog in the morning. You understand? One day you try to change the direction, dog will say, Baba, this side have you forgotten? You understand? Every day you've been going this side, now you want to go this side? Are you with me? It's a conditioning. Mind is what? Created by the society. You have a different kind of a mind when you are in the West. You have a different kind of a mind when you are in the East. What is this? Mind is conditioning. Spirituality is deconditioning the mind. Are you with me? So now the thing is, such a mind, you got to give a momentum in this direction. Once the momentum has been given in that direction, like you give the momentum to the top, the children use the top, you know, that plaything. They give a momentum, you give a chabi key, you know, and then the momentum is given, now it goes on.
So now if you give momentum, automatically in your subconscious mind, only these kind of thoughts will be going.
So mind will be constantly going in terms of atma only. Even when you open up the newspaper, you will be looking for where bhajan sessions are going on today in Delhi, where Vedanta classes are going on today in Delhi, where yoga classes are going on in Delhi. The same news we have heard. But what are you looking for? You understand? So the momentum has been given. Please understand. Agree with me. As a lamp that does not flicker in a windless place, now you have gone into what? Subconscious level. Thoughts are going towards Atma. From the seen, slowly, slowly, you are moving towards the seer. And finally what happens? The person who is focusing on the seer dissolves in the seer. Then what remains is only seer. That is what is called as realization.
Are you with me?
Did that be conclude today? We'll continue next week.
पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् करोमि. ಭೂಮಿಯ ಸಕಲಂ ಪರಸ್ಮೈ ಸಕಲಂ ಪರಸ್ಮೈ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಯೇತಿ ಸಮರ್ಪಯಾಮಿ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಯೇತಿ ಸಮರ್ಪಯಾಮಿ.
ಹರಿ ಓಂ.